to I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here. Now, do you remember all those science experiments at school, along with Bunsen burners and asbestos mats? Well, this week, according to pioneer scientist James Lovelock, an obsession with health and safety means our youngsters are being denied the thrills I enjoyed in the sixth form, like watching Mr. Redaway, the chemistry teacher, calmly drop a piece of sodium into a beaker of water and watch it skate around, billowing fumes into the air and almost choking himself in the process, because all that is now considered too dangerous. That in turn means science is not what it used to be, and our kids are turning away from what has become a tick box subject. In fact, as one newspaper reported, it's possible to get a GCSE in chemistry these days without setting foot in the lab. Thankfully, though, the health and safety executive didn't take the news lying down, drawing Mr. Lovelock's attention to young Jamie Edwards, who at 13 created nuclear fusion in his school lab in Lancashire, working within health and safety rules. Jamie worked for months in a previously underused school science laboratory and recreated a process known as inertial electrostatic confinement. A high voltage is put through a confined gas, creating tiny pockets hotter than the surface of the sun, evidently. A special mention must also go to Jamie's head teacher, who came out with our quote of the week. I was a bit stunned, and I have to say a little nervous when Jamie suggested this, but he reassured me he wouldn't blow the school up. That's all right then.
Cast your mind back 10 years to the girl who was next to me in school.
So, how much am I bid for this fine jar of French mountain air? Do I hear £512 at the back? There, going once, going twice. Sold to the man in the mask, then, for £512. No, not a stranger version of Bargain Hunt than normal, but a protest by Beijing artist Liang Qigang against his home city's air pollution crisis. Air should be the most valueless commodity free to breathe for any vagrant or beggar, Liang said in an interview. This is my way to question China's foul air and express my dissatisfaction. While China's leaders have pledged to clean up the country's air, the situation shows few signs of easing in the major cities where air pollution is frequently above safe limits. The air's clearer in the UK after last week's Saharan dust storm, but campaigners are keeping the pressure up on the government to address air quality concerns. London Mayor Boris Johnson has come in for his fair share of flack after announcing that he was a leading connoisseur of fumes, having cycled around the capital for 15 years. Boris's plan to introduce the world's first ultra-low emission zone by 2020 are seen by many as too little too late. Public Health England have also released figures that suggest Boris had a lot of work to do in the capital, showing that mortality from particulate matter pollution is worst in the London boroughs of Kensington and Chelsea and Westminster. While predictably, things are best in Yell and Shear on the Western Isles of Scotland. Piece of cake, anyone? Go on. Well, if health chiefs in Ireland get their way, Granny will be put off plying her grandchildren with treats after international research showed that children minded by their grandparents are more likely to be overweight. Healthy eating groups Safe Food are now planning to highlight the issue in an Irish TV advertising campaign later this year. To what seemed like universal disinterest, the Food Standards Agency released their latest food law code of practice this week. The code gives environmental health officers and others guidance on how frequently to inspect certain premises, amongst other things. Changes in the new edition include an emphasis on businesses with persistent or serious non-compliances by reducing the frequency of interventions in those businesses with good management controls in place. In other words, go and sort out the bad guys and don't hassle the good ones. Are we the only ones that feel that a bit of straight talking would increase public interest in a document that in places, I'm afraid, is as dry as the Saharan dust my car was covered in last week? Staying with food, and I was shocked to learn that my former primary school in North London received 0 stars after its latest inspection by EHOs from the London Borough of Barnet. Inspectors found damaged work surfaces, broken electrical sockets, broken equipment and overflowing bins amongst the long list which embarrassed staff and governors listeners alike made me grateful of the decision to take a packed lunch all those years ago. Thankfully, they didn't mention anything about the 1969 Barnet Schools Cup, which hopefully is still shining its rightful place in the hall. Ah, oh, that was some team, that was. To a recent decision by the Treasury to award Stirling Council £255,000 to remove arsenic and lead from 19 properties built on the former Blainfield Print Works, local authorities are now more confused than ever over the current funding of the contaminated land regime. In a letter sent out in December, the government told cash-strapped local authorities that only £500,000 would be available for 326 English authorities to share for cases of absolute emergency. Authorities are now trying to find out why the Treasury have given almost half that amount to clean up a site in Scotland, when the Scottish Government have also pledged £300,000 towards the clean-up bill, along with £125,000 from Stirling Council. It appears to be the first time that the Treasury has come up with funds for contaminated land remediation since it became a devolved issue. The move has raised suspicions that the funding may just be linked to the up-and-coming referendum on Scottish independence due to take place on the 18th of September, as without government funding, the residents will be facing a bill in excess of £500,000 to clean up their gardens. Well, that's almost it for Series 3 of I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here. But before we go, we just have to mention baked beans.
A million housewives every day pick up a tin of beans and say,
yes, thank you, we'll have no advertising here. Anyway, our grateful thanks to 73-year-old peer Viscount Simon for raising the issue of baked beans and global warming, giving us the best laugh we've had in ages. Viscount Simon pointed out in the House of Lords that it's been stated that the UK has the largest consumption of baked beans in the world, and as such, could Energy Minister Baroness Firmer say whether this affects the calculation of global warming by the government as a result of the smelly emission resulting therefrom. Lady Verma agreed that in light of the study, we do need to moderate our behaviour. Thankfully, though, she didn't provide any more information. Well, that's it. Stanley and I will be back in 2 weeks after our Easter break. But before we go, returning to our first story on schools and science, I must admit, I have a confession to make. Yes, remember the day the chemistry lab was flooded with chlorine, leading to poor old Mr. Redaway going green in the face as he reached for the fire alarm and everyone being evacuated onto the school field for an hour? Yes, dear listener, that was me. Have a great Easter and try to lay off the beans. I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here is written, produced and presented by Pete Hill. All comments made are purely personal and do not relate to any other body. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons licence. Any unauthorised reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited.